4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
This is the time of day where we hit the reset button on the show and give you our reactions to the top stories of the day that we've been talking about and will continue to talk about here on the Burns and Gambo Show, starting with Devin Booker returning tonight for the Phoenix Suns as they take on the Indiana Pacers. 5 o'clock tip time on ESPN 60. He will start. And as you have said, there are no minute restrictions.
They're not going to limit his minutes. He's good to go. They're going to just get him back out there. He's missed a few games with the back spasms, but he'll be back out there tonight. And they're coming off of that nice win against the Denver Nuggets. They're playing a good team in Indiana tonight. So Booker back in action, but no restriction on the amount of minutes that he will play tonight at all.
The Indiana Pacers, according to AZ Central, have the league's best record since December 1st. They've won 15 of their last 19 games. In the meantime, the Phoenix Suns, in a stat that is altogether pathetic and encouraging at the same time, are 7-9 in their last 16 games. That is the best 16-game stretch this organization has enjoyed since the early part of the 2014 season.
Wow. Jeez. 7-9. Listen, I'll take it.
Oh,
I'll take it.
What else are you going to do?
I'll take it.
You got to take it.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting so. It was a good win against Denver the other night. That was a good win.
No doubt about it. From the NFL and specifically the Arizona Cardinals, you heard Sarah mention it a moment ago. Jim Bob Cooter will be interviewing with team for their vacant offensive coordinator position. That, according to Adam Schefter,
and if they don't like him, they're just going to decline an offensive coordinator this year. just not have one. I'll go over it later. I mean, it's just not of the biggest concern to them, but they'll get one. They'll get one eventually.
Eventually, they will get one. You're telling us sources close to you confirming eventually the Cardinals will hire an offensive coordinator.
Could just defer, like win the coin flip. We'll just defer on an offensive. We don't need one.
Bruce Arians, a guest on the Doug and Wolf show earlier today, the former coach of the Cardinals, now with the Buccaneers, was asked point blank if the Cardinals ever called him knowing that he was wanting to get back into coaching.
No, I think they were, as Michael said, I think they were way down the road already looking at what they were going to do. And no, I had no conversations.
I saw this, a comment from Jameis Winston. Saying it means a lot to me, and that's just how he is. He stands behind his players. I'm happy our team gets to see that side of him. I can't wait to get in the building and work with him when discussing Arians, and being able to work with him. So I know they're excited in Tampa. It was a great interview on Doug and Wolf this morning. They hit on just about every topic that you would want. It's a good interview. You can hear it on ArizonaSports.com. But, I mean, it was no interest. But, the Cardinals were going in a different direction. He was going in a different direction. There's nothing wrong with that.
The Jets are finalizing a deal with former Browns interim head coach Greg Williams to become their defensive coordinator. What's interesting to me about the story is that he was the DC the Jets were going to target no matter what. No matter who they hired as their head coach, Greg Williams was going to be the guy, which suggests to me that there is some truth to those reports that the Baylor coach, Matt Rhule, who was going to be the Jets coach, who at least was possibly going to be the Jets coach, turned it down because they were going to stick him with Greg Williams, and maybe he didn't want to be stuck with Greg Williams.
Greg Williams is a badass. You think maybe that's why Adam Gase had those crazy eyes yesterday? Maybe they told him 2 minutes before the interview, by the way, we're hiring Greg Williams to be the defensive coordinator, and that's why Gase was looking the way he was looking. Like, is he here?
That's funny.
Is he over there?
Is he up there?
Is he in the room?
Is he down there?
Is he in the
ceiling? In the third row? Is he in the fifth row?
Is he listening right now?
Is he in the roof? Is he in the ceiling? Is he in the floor?
Was that him that just asked that question?
Is he going to kill me? Is he going to?
Are we going to be in the same building?
But our top story, I'm sorry, that's really funny. That's really, really funny. Our top story of the day, though, has to do with the Woj bomb that Gambo sufficiently diffused last night, at least locally. Adrian Wojnarowski had reported through his Twitter account.
Scud.
Well, no, somebody corrected this earlier. I was going with a different metaphor because apparently it was the Patriot missile that took down the Scuds. It wasn't the Scuds that took down. So I did. The metaphor was all wrong.
Oh.
So you're like the bomb expert. You're like the bomb diffuser. You're Keanu Reeves in Speed, man. You know which. Do I cut the red wire, the white wire, the blue wire? You knew which wire to cut to diffuse the Woj bomb last night.
So it wasn't. We said the Scud missile in the air.
No. That was not.
Patriot missile.
It was a Patriot missile that took down the Scud. That according to one of our listeners. Woj had reported.
I've been watching way too much The Man in the High Castle.
Woj had reported last night that the Mavericks have been talking about trading Dennis Smith Jr. This we know.
Yes.
And the two teams they were talking to was Orlando and Phoenix.
Yes.
You quickly shot down the Phoenix aspect of it. A report, by the way, has been confirmed by not only AZ Central, but reports out of Dallas as well, saying Orlando, yes. Phoenix, no. So it's not just you. It's a bunch of people who have said that.
Come to my defense in some ways?
No. That have just kind of confirmed what you reported.
Yeah.
Not to your defense. Yeah,
okay, Suns are not interested. They never were interested. They had no conversations. The report by Woj was incorrect. It was wrong. And that's what I tried to say to people last night. And, you know, I mean, I people were trying to start a Twitter war between me and Woj. He does a fantastic job. He's great with his national stuff, but we take a lot of pride in what we do here locally at this radio station to get you the information, correct information. And the Suns had no interest in Dennis Smith. Now, about 6 weeks ago, me and you started talking about the fact that Dennis Smith could be available because I had, you know, an NBA, you know, a high ranking NBA person was in Dallas for a game, contacted me and said, hey, Dennis Smith Jr. is available. He wants out. They want to trade him. Would the Suns be interested? Well, at the time I checked and the Suns weren't interested. And then again, last night after this story came out, you know, I started to work again last night because, you know, people are hitting me up. Whoa, just saying the Suns are interested in Dennis Smith Jr. and extended talks are going on. And was quickly able to get some answers, some real answers, and backed up everything that I had known before. The Suns have never contacted the Mavs about Dennis Smith Jr. There were no talks at all. Forget about extensive talks. There were no talks about Dennis Smith Jr. They're not interested in him. They don't want him here. He's not the type of point guard that fits. So Woj's report was inaccurate. It was incorrect. The Suns part of it. The other part might be completely right, that Orlando has interest, and maybe it's Detroit, but the Suns don't have interest. They don't want him. So I'm glad that after my report came out, that there were others that came out and kind of said the same thing.
Yeah, no, there have been.
And I didn't see that, but I'm glad that happened because there were people questioning me and, you know, saying that maybe you're wrong, but no, I wasn't wrong. The Suns don't have interest in
him. SportsDayDallas.com, DallasNews.com reporting that Orlando is heavily in the Smith acquisition mix. Phoenix is not. AZ Central and their Suns beat writer, Dwayne Rankin, has reported the same thing, that the Suns are not in the mix as well. So,
and that's all I was trying to say last night when I came up my report. The Suns are not the team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not interested in him.
Now,
they don't like him.
And I think the reason why, and I know you've kind of categorized the reasons why, but just to kind of take it a step further, one of the reasons why it's not a good fit comes from this story that I read in Dallas, just kind of talking about the Smith situation in Dallas. A Maverick source, according to the story, compared Smith's situation to this season, to that of an only child who suddenly wakes up with a new sibling, and that new sibling is getting most of the attention. The new sibling, of course, is Luka Doncic, and now it's Luka Doncic's world in Dallas and not Smith.
Everybody else is just living in it.
The sibling rivalry, the source said, mostly has had a positive effect in Smith and that it's improving his strength and conditioning, but the source went on to say it's not perfect. It's not perfect for Dennis because ultimately he wants to have the ball in his hands. That's kind of the way he's been his entire life. So this whole thing has been an adjustment. Another source went on to say of the Dallas Mavericks, the reality is we have two quarterbacks right now. And that usually doesn't work very well, especially when one guy has established himself to be that much better than the other guy. The problem with that is if Dennis Smith Jr. were to come here, he'd have the same problem.
Yeah.
With
sure.
Devin Booker.
Of course. Because he's not the type of point guard the Suns are looking for. The Suns are looking for a point guard that could facilitate, that could defend, that could knock down some open shots. But they do not want a scorer. They don't want a guy that needs to shoot the ball. They don't need a high-volume scorer at the point guard spot. That's not the type of point guard they want. They know that they've got some volume shooters and scorers in Oubre and T.J. Warren and Josh Jackson and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. And so from that perspective, they're not looking for a guy that needs 10 to 15 shots a game to be their point guard. Dennis Smith is a terrific athlete, but that's what he is. He's an athlete. He's just an athlete. He's not a thinker on the court. He's not a playmaker on the court. He's not what you would consider a high basketball IQ. He's an explosive athlete that has had a torn ACL, and he needs the ball in his hands, and he needs to score, and he has some highlight dunks. I mean, if you go look at some of his dunks, they're unbelievable. There's a reason Dallas is trying to move him. I mean, he's not a good fit for them. The Suns just, he's not anything like fit-wise. It's just not anything like the, what they want. They have no interest in a player like that. Forget about him. They have no interest in any player that's like him to be their point guard of the future.
The number of interviews, the number of candidates continues to grow. What exactly is going on with the Cardinals offensive coordinator search? And in a weird kind of way, does it matter? We'll tell you next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Ticket Window Tuesday opens now.
I need a caller number out of you, John Gambadoro.
Nine.
Caller number nine. At 602-260-9870. If you are caller number nine, 602-260-9870, caller number nine, here on this Ticket Window Tuesday presented by Arizona Central Credit Union, you will score a pair of two-day general admission tickets to the Innings Festival. Real good lineup. Eddie Vedder, Incubus, Jimmy Eat World, and more at Tempe Beach Park, March 2nd and 3rd. Weather should be great. That should be a really nice event if you're caller number nine.
Jimmy Eat World?
Local band.
Jimmy Eat World.
In fact, I believe their drummer is a huge fan.
Yeah, Jimmy Eat World.
Huge fan of our shows here on the station.
I'd love to hear some of their music.
Yeah, you probably would recognize a song or two or three of theirs. There's no doubt
somebody
about that.
Orca Eat Gambo.
They're not new, Gambo. You've definitely heard songs of theirs.
They've been around for like 20 years, I think.
Awesome.
Yeah, they've been around for a while. Yeah, so we'll hook you up with some Jimmy Eat World so you can find out.
They're kind of upbeat?
Yes, they're upbeat.
All right.
They're upbeat, kind of an alt-rock
sort
of band.
Maybe you can use one of their upbeat songs
to get us back in from commercial every once in a while?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm open for that.
Yeah, so we can do that.
We'll see what we can do.
They got an upbeat song we can use? I'm
snappy,
open for that.
Something we can dance to. Yeah.
They got something upbeat. I think we could probably use that.
The Arizona Cardinals are, according to reports, interviewing Jim Bob Cooter to be their offensive coordinator. John DeFilippo kind of came and went. Doesn't mean he's not going to get the job. It just means that he go off to interview with Jacksonville, right?
They go interview with Jacksonville. And I'm going to say this to you. It's just, it might be difficult to hear, but there's not this unbelievable emphasis on the offensive coordinator. Like, they are going to get one, but they're going through the process. They're doing their homework and the due diligence, but the most important hires have already been made. And this may sound crazy, and it might sound crazy, but this is the truth. The offensive line coach was a more important hire to them than the offensive coordinator was. The running backs coach was a more important hire to them than the offensive coordinator will be. The defensive coordinator was a more important hire. And, of course, the head coach. So they will get an offensive coordinator. And they've interviewed, you know, Sarkisian and McAdoo and DeFilippo, and now Jim Bob Cooter. But I'm telling you that the feeling is that they, like, the most important hires that they needed to make have now been made. So now they're not in a rush and they're not panicking and they'll hire a guy. But I don't know that the impact of the offensive coordinator will be, and it won't be the impact of the offensive coordinator will not have the same impact of some of these coaches that they've already hired.
And based off of what we heard from Courtney Cronin, who has covered the Minnesota Vikings for ESPN, we had her on earlier to kind of get a read on John DeFilippo. She said that that's perfectly fine with him.
John is a quarterback guy. I mean, he was a quarterback himself. That's a position he understands best. He's worked with them throughout his career. You know, 12 years in the NFL kind of speaks for itself. So I think that that's something that, you know, really can't be ignored.
And not calling plays might not matter that much to John DeFilippo.
I don't think that calling plays is necessarily the end-all, be-all for him. Would he be able to do it in Jacksonville? Yeah, but do you want to potentially go to Jacksonville and what could be a one-year situation and have to uproot your life again? I mean, that to me is the downside of that job. But, you know, if he does get the job in Arizona, no, he's not calling plays, but he gets to do what he's been really, really good at throughout his career, which is developing young quarterback talent.
And you're right. It is odd to hear you say that it doesn't matter as much, that more important coaching hires have been made, because it ignores the basic hierarchy that we're all accustomed to as football fans, right? Head coach comes in, hires an offensive coordinator, hires a defensive coordinator. Then defensive coordinator hires a linebackers coach and a defensive line coach and a secondary coach. And doing it this way is it ignores the normal hierarchical pattern that we're used to seeing when it comes to how coaches
totally
are hired. But when you think about it, you just hired a head coach who's got not a lick of NFL head coaching experience and who got fired from his alma mater for being five games under 500. There's no normal. I don't want to make it sound like every team is going to do it like this, but as it relates to the Cardinals and their 2019 coaching search, it's a new normal. All right. This is not normal. This is not average. This is not typical. Everything's a little different with this search.
This is almost like having your dessert before your dinner.
Sure.
Right? Having your dessert before your dinner.
Sure.
I'm going to have the dessert first, and then I'm going to have my dinner. Well, that's the normal way to do it, is you have your dinner first, and then you have your dessert after. But I'm going to have my dessert now, and then I'm going to get my dinner later.
Well, there are some people who eat their dinner first and then their salad later because the dinner is going to get cold and the salad's just going to sit there and be the same temperature, right? I mean, there's no...
Oh, yeah, we were never allowed to do that. My mother insisted salad first and then dinner second.
But then your dinner gets cold while
never,
you're eating your salad.
No, because my mother would never... The dinner would not come out of the oven until the salad was finished.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. But again, the idea of normal... When you hire a coach like Cliff Kingsbury to be your head coach, there is no normal. Normal's gone. All right?
So we shouldn't be surprised by this.
We shouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. They're going to hire an offensive coordinator.
Sure, we shouldn't be surprised one bit because
offensive coordinator is not going to have the impact that typical offensive coordinators have.
And what is going to be strange for offensive coordinators around the league, and we talked about this earlier, is that they might walk into this job interviewing for the OC position and walk out and think to themselves, I don't want that job. Bob Cooter might not want this job. John DeFilippo, now we got a little more insight from Courtney, but he might walk out of that interview and go, I want to be able to do the things that traditional offensive coordinators do. And if this is a non-traditional situation, I don't want the job.
I've been an offensive coordinator. I've been in the NFL for 15 years, and you want me to, he's going to call the plays, and what am I going to do? Well, you're going to work with the quarterbacks, and you're going to bounce ideas off of him. You're going to help design plays, and, you know, you're going to help with the practices and things like that. And, I mean, but it's just the offensive coordinator here is crazy to think, but he's not as important as the offensive line coach.
But it's not just here. It's in Cleveland. With Todd Monken, it's going to be in...
And I don't know the situations there. I know the situation here. I know the offensive line coach here is more important than the offensive
line coach. Well, I don't know if it's like that in Cleveland, but I know in Cleveland, Kitchens has said, I'm calling plays.
Right.
Okay? In Green Bay, Matt LaFleur, he's calling plays. So...
Yeah, Shanahan's calling plays. McVay's calling plays. Yeah. Peterson's calling plays. Andy Reid's calling plays. I mean, there's so many coaches that are calling plays. The offensive coordinator's role is much different than it used to be.
And yet, offensive coordinators, even without the benefit of being the play caller, continue to get opportunities to be the head coach just for being a part of these great offenses. I mean, there's Eric Bieniemy standing next to Andy Reid. Andy Reid's calling all the plays. Eric Bieniemy's interviewing for jobs to be a head coach. There's Zach Taylor. He's standing next to Sean McVay when he's making all the calls. Zach Taylor's going to be the next head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's got to be... A very strange time if you're an OC in this league who's used to the traditional way things are done.
Right.
Because traditional is getting wadded up and thrown out the window.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way anymore.
I just want to, I mean, and that'll be one of the, you know, how is the offensive coordinator here going to be used? And is that an issue for as to why they have not hired one yet? Right. Sarkisian was here. They didn't want Sarkisian, but Sarkisian was here. DeFilippo was here. McAdoo was here. Jim Bob Cooter was here. Haven't hired anybody yet. Is part of that because the role is not what they expect it to be or maybe what they want it to be?
Well, then they better get used to it because they're going to interview for a lot of offensive coordinator jobs where that's going to be the role, whether you like it or not, whether it's normal or not, or whether
The industry has changed.
Yeah, not everywhere.
You got to change with it.
Not everywhere, but you got to change with it. Why did Bruce Arians return to coaching so soon after retiring? And what exactly did he think about Cliff Kingsbury coaching the Cardinals? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Moving to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country.
The presidents of the United States of America? Yes. Why are we playing peaches from the presidents of the United States of America? Because when we started off the show today, and I said straight at 2 o'clock on this, I should have said Tuesday afternoon. I thought it was Friday for a second.
Yes.
On this Fruit Tuesday afternoon.
It's a Fruit Tuesday.
Happy Fruit Tuesday, everybody.
Yep.
So in honor of that, let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah, I don't think this qualifies as need to know stuff, but because it is a Fruit Tuesday here on the Burns and Gambo Show, what is one of our two poll questions today?
It is need to know stuff. They're getting to know us better and we're getting to know them better. So the first of our two very important poll questions today, what is your favorite fruit on this Fruit Tuesday of these four delightful options? 56% say they love strawberries.
That was Jordan's pick.
Yep. 19% went with blueberries, and that was your pick, Bernsie.
My pick, yep.
14% went with pears. That was me. And Gambo, you're still in last. 11% went with nectarines.
The nectarines.
It's a very small audience you're going after with the nectarines. I mean,
Went pineapple. Yeah, I like pineapple.
That's not a big audience fruit that you've chosen there. Nectarines are thin slice.
Yeah.
But we picked from our hearts, did we not?
We did, yes.
Yeah, I picked a fruit. I like nectarines.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
My dad used to cut the nectarines, mm-hmm. like in slices, and then put them in wine.
Oh, really?
No, I'm serious. You got to try this. I know you like wine. Try this. You take a nectarine or a peach. This is true. Italian families do this. You take a nectarine or a peach, and you cut it in slices, and you put the slices into a glass of wine.
There's another word for it. It's called sangria.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you take the peaches and the nectarines out, and you eat them.
Yeah. The wine-soaked.
Yeah, the wine-soaked fruit. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my dad did that all the time.
Yeah. Sangria. Yeah, it's like a drink with the wine and the fruit. Yeah. Yeah.
But instead of drink, you just eat the fruit.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the second poll question of the day?
All right, on a more important, serious note.
I don't know. I think the fruit one's pretty important, but let's give it a shot anyway.
We'll do a sangria poll tomorrow.
Indeed.
So where will Oklahoma quarterback/Oakland A's draftee Kyler Murray go in the 2019 NFL draft? And of course, this comes after the news yesterday that he declared for the NFL draft. So 43% say he is going to go in the first round of the NFL draft. 29% say he's going to be a top 10 overall pick. 21% say he'll go in the second round or later. And just 7% say it doesn't matter. He's sticking with baseball.
All right, I'm going with you. I'm going with the first pick in the second round and the Cardinals trade it and they get a couple of picks for him.
Be fantastic.
That's what I'm going with.
It'd be the second.
First pick in the second round. Yeah. Cardinals trade the pick, get two or three extra picks for a team to move up to get Kyler Murray.
It'd be the second best case scenario. The first best case scenario would be somebody wants to move up to number one to get one of the quarterbacks. That'd be the best case scenario. The second best case scenario is exactly that. Yeah. Kyler Murray doesn't go in the first round, but he's available with the first pick in the second because it is.
Here you go. I'm going with that.
That is a hot spot right there. Bruce Arians, a guest this morning on the Doug and Wolf Show. It was a really good interview with BA. It was good to hear his voice. Of course, the former Cards coach now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Was a little surprised, he said, that the coaching bug bit him again so soon.
I really was. I mean, there was no doubt I was finished. And as this year progressed, and like I said, things had to just fall right into place, and they did with Tampa Bay. And as it got closer and closer, I got more and more excited. My wife actually got excited, and we're really pumped. And then the staff, I mean, all my guys were available, so it was like, you're supposed to be doing this thing when all these guys are available.
They all got fired, which is the reason why they were all available.
They're all available.
We're gonna whistle past the graveyard on that minor detail.
Great interview by Doug and Wolf this morning. Really enjoyed it. I thought they asked all the pertinent questions. Did a good job. I'd like to ask, my wife got excited. Were you being home for like this? Did that not work out? You know that whole thing?
Here's the thing. When you retire
and you go home and you're around your wife all the time, was she like, get your ass back to work?
You're interfering with
my daily life.
I'm sure Mrs. B.A. wants B.A. to be as happy as he can be. And coaching probably makes him very, very happy.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was Bick who said it earlier, man, when you have a job like coaching, man, so much of your own self-identity is kind of wrapped up in your profession, right? And when you don't have that anymore, you can't scratch that itch on the golf course. You can't scratch that itch in a CBS broadcast booth. You are head coach Bruce Arians, offensive coordinator Bruce Arians. That's who you are. That's what you do. And when you say goodbye to it, I bet that's a lot harder than it looks when you're wrapped up in that.
Listen,
world.
We say this all the time, but for some reasons it's not true. Like, you know, that's not who I am. It doesn't define me. Well, in some cases it does.
Absolutely.
That is who you are. It does define you. And for athletes and coaches and, you know, maybe even people in our industry, that's who you are. That is what defines you. You're Bruce Arians. You're a football. I know not. You're a football coach. That defines you, who you are and what you are. And we say that a lot of time. Oh, that doesn't define you. You're not just this. But for some cases, it does work in some cases.
Well, in some cases, that's how you define yourself. You know, I mean, I'm a coach. It's what I love to do. It was what I was born to do. It's what I want to do. And I'm not happy if I'm not doing it. So maybe that's why Chris was so excited about it, was because it was a chance for BA to do what he really loves. It was not being in a broadcast booth.
I was biting my tongue, man. I really couldn't be me. And I got in trouble for saying the guy was wide ass open one time.
Yeah.
And
I was listening.
That was my first game. That was the first game I did. And so that, and having you're talking and somebody's talking in your ear, that's really hard.
As far as coming back here, BA said he never got the call.
No, I think they were, as Michael said, I think they were way down the road already, looking at what they were going to do. And no, I had no conversations.
But what was left unsaid was, if had they called, and he probably wouldn't have answered this because it was a hypothetical, had they called, would he have been interested? Or was
probably
it?
Probably not.
I tend to agree.
Probably not.
The vibe, isn't the vibe that you get from both parties sort of, hey, it was nice, it was good, it was a great run?
It's like going back to your ex-girlfriend, right? Going back to your ex-wife.
Yes.
Right? Like, okay, we had a run. It's over, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. She's new. I make it something new, different, exciting.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
There's something, you know, that's for a coach, it's new and exciting, a new team. It's a Jameis Winston. It's, you know, new players to work with, new work with Jason Light, you know, to work with Jason Light again. I just think that, you know, the newness of it is exciting to Bruce.
When the news first came out that he was the leading candidate to be the Bucs coach, a lot of Cardinal fans, a lot, you heard from them and so did I, were, well, why not us? Why does he not want to come back here? Why do they not want to go after him? What does it say about us or him, or about the way things ended between us and him, that we can't get back together? And you know what? Sometimes, a lot of times, a relationship like that, it's just over. It just ends. It was time. It was time for both parties to go try something else, be something else, do something else. And you can try all you want to, you know, we're sort of like the kids in the divorce, right?
Yeah.
Mom and dad aren't together anymore. But why? Well, why can't mom and dad get back together again? That's like the dream of all divorced kids. When your parents first split up, is for mom and dad to get back together again, because life would go back to normal if mom and dad get back together again. It doesn't work that way, right? Mom and dad don't want to get back together again. They don't.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why mom and dad aren't together anymore. They don't want to be together anymore. Yep. And it doesn't mean they don't like each other. It doesn't mean that it's hateful or spiteful. Sometimes it is, but it doesn't mean it has to be. But when you're the kid, and it feels like Cardinal fans were sort of like the children of divorce there for a while. Like, no, but I want mom and dad to get back together.
I like you guys.
Yeah, because then everything's
Steve
the way it was if mom and dad are together again. Mom and dad didn't really want to get back together again.
Remember when we went to Disneyland? It was amazing. It's like, remember when we went to the NFC Championship game? It was fun.
Yeah. By the way, his thoughts on Cliff Kingsbury, he was guarded in his response to that.
When you went down and worked out Patrick Mahomes, you know, I met Beza with Cliff, and I was always really impressed with what they did, and he's a heck of a guy.
It was real clear listening to the interview. He did not want to talk much about Cliff Kingsbury,
no.
And he did not want to talk much about Steve Wilks. Those were two topics. I could just tell listening to the interview on the app when I was driving in, he was not in a big rush to talk about either of those guys or those situations. Didn't want to address it.
Just his situation.
Yeah. And it's a good situation.
It is.
It's a good situation.
He's going to be in a good spot.
He is returning to the lineup tonight. But Devin Booker needs to proceed with caution tonight in Indianapolis. And not just because of the back. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo, hook me up with the latest when it comes to Devin Booker in this game that's going to start in about 20 minutes from right now.
I'll go 32 points.
No, I don't. He's playing, right?
Oh, he is playing.
He said, I was putting the ball on the tee for
I,
you
I,
to.
I was just trying to guess like a stat line. Devin Booker's playing. No minute restrictions for the game tonight. So no minute restrictions. They're not going to limit him. He's been out with the back spasms the last few games, missed three games. They've struggled offensively, but they played great defense in his absence. Great defense. So now they're going to see if they can kind of work it back in with Booker being, you know, back in the lineup. And it's good to get him back. I mean, he's their star player. He's their key. Where they want to go, they need him. So they did have some success without him. They won a couple of games without him. The Denver win was a big one. Sacramento at home was a good win. But now they get Devin Booker back, and they're playing an Indiana team that's been playing very good basketball.
I would never, ever suggest that the Suns are a better team without Devin Booker than they are with him. That'd be irresponsible and reckless. But
yes, both
it was a really interesting story I read this morning on Bright Side of the Sun from their lead author, Dave King, who brought up something that I was kind of thinking about yesterday. I just didn't know how quite to articulate it. They've found kind of a little formula in these last three games for how they play basketball, and this defensive identity that we spent a lot of yesterday talking about with the Denver game. And rather than Devin Booker coming in and just taking everything over and trying to be the clear alpha male and everybody slots back down, he does, I think, need to make a little effort to try to fit in with this identity that they've established for themselves while he was gone, because it's a good identity. It's one that needs furthering a little bit. It's one that he needs to still be the guy, still be the star, still be the one that they expect to lead them, but also to fit in with the things that they've discovered they do well without him. He needs to kind of balance that a little bit when he comes back, because they have done some very nice things without him.
You know, one of the good things about the NBA, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but one of the things, and I'll say it's a good thing because of the amount of guys that need to take shots for the Phoenix Suns right now, because Oubre's got to shoot and TJ's got to shoot and Ayton's got to get shots and Devin's got to get shot, is that there are more possessions in a basketball game now than there ever were before. There's more possessions because there's more shots, and there's more possessions and there's more shots because there's more bad shots. There's more three-pointers that are taken, and three-pointers that are taken and missed, and an offensive rebound, and then you take another three and you miss, and an offensive rebound and another shot. So there are more possessions and there are more shots than there was years ago. So that does enable a team to be like, okay, I could get shots for all these guys. I could. It's a different. This is even different than, you know, the 7 second or less era with Steve Nash started to incorporate that, right? Knock down threes, shoot threes. And that's kind of where it started a little bit. But clearly there are more possessions in a game and more shots in a game now than there were in the past. And that does enable teams to be able to have more guys shoot. It's good that Melton doesn't shoot. And it's good that Mikal Bridges doesn't need to shoot. So you do have a couple of guys
right. That
get minutes that don't. Rashawn Holmes doesn't need to shoot when he's out there. He's really good with that little one-handed floater. Like, I love that little one-handed, like, little floater that he puts up there. But Rashawn Holmes is a defensive guy that doesn't need a high amount of shots. So is Mikal Bridges, and so is Melton. But the other guys need to shoot the ball. Josh Jackson and TJ Warren and Kelly Oubre and DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, and those guys need to shoot the ball when they're out there. They play better when they can get their shots. Now, how does Booker incorporate into that? Well, they'll start to work that back in tonight. But I do think the shots are there. I think the shots are there for all of them. I'm not concerned that there aren't enough shots for everybody.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it sound like Devin Booker has been unwilling to share. I mean, he's having his career best assist numbers this season. He's averaging just a tick below 7 per game. He's done a very good job in that regard, and he's had to because they don't have a point guard. And the offense is running through him. He's touching the ball every single time. It's just more about DeAnthony Melton has taken a nice stride or two these last few games. Let's make sure we keep going in that direction with him, right?
Yes.
Kelly Oubre has made really nice strides the last couple of weeks. Let's make sure that continues in the right direction. I know this is going to sound crazy because they've got the fourth worst record in the NBA, fifth worst record in the NBA. In a crazy, weird way, I haven't been this excited about Suns basketball in a long time. It's coming.
It's
a little.
You see the light at the end of the tunnel?
It's coming. I don't know if it's going to happen in the next 10 games, 20 games, if it's even going to happen by the end of the season. But we have talked, you and I specifically, for years about the next great Suns team.
And who's going to be on it.
Okay. A lot of these guys are going to be on it.
Yes.
All right. And for the first time in a long time, we can say that. a lot of these guys are going to be on the next great Suns team. And it's not going to happen this year, probably not going to happen next year. They might not even be truly great for another 2 or 3 years. But you can start to see incrementally things get a little bit better week by week, game by game. The fact that they're, and I mentioned this stat earlier, they're 7-9 in their last 16 games. Now that in and of itself is nothing to throw a party about. That is their best 16-game stretch in 4 years.
Which is absurd.
Which is pathetic. Is pathetic, but at the same time, it's so much better than what we've had around here. You, in my mind, you can't look at that and not view it as progress. You can't look at that and say, they're not getting better. They're not. Of course they are. They're basically a 500 basketball team the last month. All right? That, compared to some of the garbage this team has put out there on the floor the last couple of years, I'll take an almost 500 team over a month compared to some of the garbage that we've seen the last couple of years.
You want to see them improve. You want to see them be better than they were last year. But more importantly, just compete. You want to see them compete. And we loved the comment by Nikola Jokic the other day about, hey, we played to their record and we got spanked.
Yeah, not to their personnel. We played to their record.
We played to their record. Now, I was just looking at something real quick. I just called this up on a whim, okay? I just typed in 2005 NBA playoffs, Phoenix Suns, and I looked at the first game that the Suns played against the Dallas Mavericks. Joe Johnson, Quentin Richardson, Sean Marion, Amari, Steve Nash, Jimmy Jackson, Walter McCarty, Leandro Barbosa, 88 shots in the game. The Suns beat the Mavericks 127-102. They won game one 127-102. They took 88 shots in the game. Okay. 88. That was game one against the Mavericks 2005. It's the only game I looked at. You know how many shots they took against Denver the other night?
No,
With no Devin Booker. 92. 92 shots. Just a point that it's there are more possessions, there are more shots, and there are more misses. And it does allow for the Suns to be able to get shots for Josh and TJ and Kelly and Devin and DeAndre. And it's one of the reasons why they don't want to add another guy that needs a high volume amount of shots.
Right.
And why they don't want a point guard that needs to shoot the ball 15 times a game.
And we'll talk about the Dennis Smith Jr. thing in a minute, because that's our top story of the day. And we'll hit that at the top of the hour if you want the very latest on that. We've got that coming up in just a few minutes. Again, I'm not suggesting that Devin Booker should defer to all these guys. I'm not saying that at all. But there's obviously been a little formula for success that they've stumbled upon without him. And I just want to make sure he works within the context of that formula for success so that he helps them get even better rather than turn into the guy who's going to jack up all the shots and all these guys return to their second-tier status, third-tier status. And it's going to be tough. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but there's got to be a way for Booker to toe that line a little bit because they've made strides this last week.
What was great about Amari Stoudemire is that Amari could have averaged 30 a game.
Sure.
Okay, but he didn't because Steve found a way to get everybody involved, keep everybody active. And I think that's where you're going. I don't know what's best for the Suns yet. I need to see more. I still think that this team needs Devin Booker to be a high volume scorer, to be the main guy. I do believe that right now. But there is something to be said as these guys are starting to get better, and I'm watching Kelly Oubre play, that these guys need to get theirs too.
Join us Thursday, a couple days from now. We're broadcasting live from the 48th annual Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction at Westworld of Scottsdale. You can check out more than 1,700 rare and exotic cars up for auction, eat and drink from their 40-plus vendors on site, and so much more than that. Go to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for details and info on tickets, but we will be out at the Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction on Thursday. He's going to get moved. It's a matter of when. Here, Gambo's got the latest on that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.